Welcome to the Running Explain podcast. I'm Elizabeth, a marathoner, running coach, and answer seeker. When I became a new runner at the age of 29, I had so many questions, but it felt like I was on my own to figure out all of the answers. So now I'm here to answer all your running questions to help make you a better, smarter, faster runner. There's no question too simple and no topic too complex. So let's get started. My guest this week is Lauren Hsu. Lauren is an RRCA certified running coach and a mental health advocate. She's the owner and founder of Running for Wellness, which was created with the explicit purpose of helping people improve their mental health and well-being through running. And as somebody whose life, mental health, and well-being was completely transformed by running, I am so inspired by Lauren's mission to bring that to everyone else. This conversation is about mental health and mental wellness and mental well-being. We talk about some of the more mental health aspects of running, how running can translate into the rest of your life. And at the end, we also talk about when it's appropriate to see a professional, like a therapist, and how to make sure that therapist is a good fit for you. Lauren, welcome to the show. I'm excited to have you here.
Hi, Elizabeth. Thanks for having me. I'm excited too.
So first up, tell us about yourself. Tell us your origin story, how you became a runner and a coach and an advocate.
Yeah, definitely. So I'll start by saying that I haven't always been a runner. Actually, in my early 20s, I despised running. I tried it once and it was an epic fail. So I actually surprised myself when I started to love running. So I decided to sign up for a 5K when I was trying to get in shape for my wedding back in 2014. I started training for that and I did the 5K. And once I finished it, I was just totally hooked. I would say like that is really what changed the game for me. I suddenly started to understand, you know, that running, it really made me feel good overall. So it kind of hooked me right at the start there. I immediately signed up for a half marathon, started training for that. Once I did that, I signed up for a marathon, and then just kept signing up for races and just kept falling more and more in love with running. My husband kind of caught on too, and we did some races together. And then we even did a triathlon. So we tried some different things, but overall, my love for running just keeps growing. And I think the biggest reason is just because I love how it makes me feel. I love how it boosts my mood. It helps my mental health. And that's really what got me interested in becoming an RRCA certified running coach, because running has helped me so much. It's really changed my life. It transformed my life. And I really wanted to be able to give that back to others and help others to be able to run in a safe, sustainable way, in a way that they could achieve their goals, and just a way to help their own mental health and well-being as well. So that's kind of where I got to where I am, why I decided to start my run coaching business, and how I fell in love with running.
I love that. I love, because I came to running from I'll just start running to lose some weight, sign up for the 5K to keep me accountable. Like, yep. I had no idea kind of what was in store once you sign up for, the local 5K. And then here we are a couple of years later, like it's really kind of snowballed into this whole big career, you know?
Yep.
And so today we're going to talk about running and mental health, mental wellness, like you said, how running makes you feel. And I love this. I mean, I'm right there with you. Running changed my life. It changed my life for the better in so many ways. And in so many ways, I feel like running has allowed me to become the person I was always supposed to be. You know, of course, we're all still works in progress, and I'm obviously still working on myself. But just from a knowing yourself, knowing who you are, you know, that running has really can teach you so many lessons about yourself, and I think help you become a better version of yourself. In most cases. So, you know, for a lot of people start running because they want to do something like lose weight, or because their doctor recommended that they get some exercise, or they heard that running can boost your mood, so to say. And that those things are all true. Running can be very beneficial for your health. If you're not training for a race, it's good to move. What is it about running that is beneficial for your mood, your overall health and wellness?
Yeah, definitely. So like I said, after I finished that 5K, I just knew that I was hooked because of how I felt. And I just knew it was boosting my mood. It was making me feel better. And I wondered why, like, why do I feel so much better after I run? So I started looking into it and doing some research. And I found that there really is a lot of scientific evidence that does support the fact that running is good for your mental health. It helps to release endorphins, which are the feel-good chemicals. There's also some research that shows that the runner's high, which is kind of like that feeling of euphoria that you have after a long run, is endocannabinoids that are released. And it provides that great feeling that you have, that runner's high. And it also plays a role in your neurological communications with your brain. So there's all of this evidence that shows that there really is like some chemical things that are changing in your brain when you're running or when you're doing cardio exercise. So that was really interesting to me to see that, you know, there are some physiological factors at play here that are helping me to feel better, which is really awesome. It's just really exciting to know that it can be that beneficial. And not only that, I feel that running can also lead to improving your resilience. I know for me, it helped to improve my confidence. Like you said, about transforming your life, I feel like it really helped to boost my confidence from before I ever started running. I struggled with a lot of anxiety and worries, things like that. And the running did really help me to overcome a lot of that and also increase my confidence too. For instance, sometimes when I was training for longer races in the early days, I remember just having a lot of alone time on my long runs and being able to reflect. And there was even this one work opportunity that had come up, and I was like having a little bit of self-doubt, and I was like, oh, I don't know if I should go for it. I don't know if I can really do it. But when I was on that run and I just felt that confidence and that, I can't even describe it, like that, that great feeling on the run, I was like, you know what, I'm going to go for it. And I'm going to put my hand up and I'm going to do it. And then I ended up getting that special assignment that I really had the confidence that came to me on that run. So it's like a way to kind of like pump myself up to build up my confidence. And it really has helped me in more ways than one in my life.
Running can definitely be a great way to like self-reflect, even if you're not intentionally, like, you may not go out on a run and think like, oh, on this run, I'm going to take some time for self-reflection. It's just like letting your mind wander and kind of letting your mind just process through all the kind of random crap that's going on in your life, whether it's, you know, personal or business or like just random shower thoughts or stuff about your run or stuff about whatever it is. It's a really great way to kind of, I mean, I don't know, and I'm sure there's some evidence that is like this, but it's almost like, you know, how we say that certain kinds of sleep or even something called EMDR, which is a type of, it's like a way to help people process trauma, basically. And it has to do with eye movement. And I wonder if there's some kind of correlation between the like meditative processes that we experience on a run compared to those actual like therapies that help kind of reset our brain in some way.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So we talk about like, yeah, and I think everybody knows like, yeah, running can make you feel really good and running boosts your mood. And obviously running is good for your health and all this kind of stuff. But I think anybody who has gone on maybe, you know, more than one run, there can be a flip side of when you start to take your running pretty seriously and you start to care about your things like your times and your paces and your distances and your goals, is that having a bad run can ruin your day. It can really impact your mood in a negative way. And missing a workout can make you feel anxious, having a bad week, you know, all these types of things. So while running overall can be really good for your health, there can be situations where running is not great for your mental health. You want to talk about what we can do to kind of mitigate some of those negative emotions that we feel?
Yeah, sure. Definitely. And I totally agree. It's not like every single run is going to be amazing and perfect and you're always going to feel great. You know, the realistic situation is that we're all just human and sometimes we're going to have bad runs. So my advice, my thought on this is to just give yourself grace, lower your expectations for yourself, be easy on yourself when you have a bad run day. I know we've all been there. I know I have. And I think it's really great to have goals. I think that's really important. And also setting the bar high for yourself and continuing to challenge yourself is so important. And I think that's one of the big benefits of running too, is achieving new goals and challenges and those sorts of things. But not to beat up on yourself if you don't consistently keep going, you know, higher and higher and higher, or further and further, faster and faster. Like, it's not always going to just be bigger and better every time. So I feel that everyone runs into roadblocks sometimes. Like I said, we're human, it's inevitable. And running is also a big mind game. So it's a lot of, you know, having positive affirmations in your mind when you hit a really hard spot and you feel like you want to stop, and you just, you know, you need to keep going, and you kind of have to figure out strategies for how to cheer yourself on and keep yourself motivated and that sort of thing. So like I said, not every run is going to be a great run, but try to be easy on yourself. Try to have a positive mindset, and also take care of yourself, because at the end of the day, running is really just, you know, one piece of your life that feeds into your overall health and well-being. But if it gets too extreme where it starts to take away from your health and well-being, that's when you kind of have to take a step back and be like, wait a minute, am I still doing this in a healthy way? Is this still adding to my life? Am I still walking away here feeling better than when I did, when I started? I think those are important questions to ask and to reflect on.
And we'll talk more about the, when that line can get crossed a little bit later on in the episode. But I love what you said about the expectations, like how you expect things to feel and the goals that you set for yourself, because especially for newer runners, they tend to make pretty rapid progress, right? Like, you went from running a 5K to a half marathon, like, pretty quickly. Like, when I started running, I ran a 5K, 10K, half marathon, and a marathon, like, within 6 months. Like, don't do this, please, for your health and wellness. But, like, that's really rapid progress. And so for newer runners, they tend to expect that this rapid progress that they're seeing is going to kind of continue forever, right? And yep. So when we hit those roadblocks, we realize, like, oh, you know what? Like, I'm not going to set a PR every single time I go for a run anymore. Yep. Just because I didn't run this the fastest this day does not necessarily mean it's a bad run. It really helps foster a kind of, like you said before, resilience, but also perspective taking. So be like, you know what, it was just one run. Like, one run is never, ever going to be the make or break for anything that you do. And being able to translate that into your larger life, like, one thing, one whatever it is, you know, for people who are, I think, prone to anxiety, who look at the one thing and it really makes them feel anxious, like it's the end of the world because this one thing happened. Learning to put that in context is a really useful skill. Do you have any experience with that?
Yeah, I totally can relate to what you were saying before about new runners. And at first, they're just going, and they're meeting all these new milestones. But then at one point, it levels out and they kind of hit the plateau. And that's where frustration can set in. I definitely can relate to that. And I feel like I experienced a little bit of that too, because my first 2 years of running or so, I was constantly trying to continue to raise the bar higher and higher. Signing up for longer races, even trying to mix it up by putting a triathlon in there. And I was always like, how can I challenge myself next? Like, what's a bigger thing I can do? And after that, I kind of, once I did a few marathons, I was like, okay, now what? And I'm always trying to find, like, what's the, you know, bigger thing I can do. And I think that's around the time where I was like, you know what, I don't need to keep doing a longer distance every time to feel like I'm progressing as a runner, or I don't have to PR every single time. I don't have to be the fastest runner in the world. The fact that I'm enjoying this so much and I'm able to build a running routine into my schedule just as part of my daily life, like, that's really what I love. The thing that I love the most is just having that as my self-care and my alone time, my time to reflect. It's not necessarily about the PR. That's not what's, you know, fueling my fire when it comes to running. So that's really when I did a lot of self-reflection and realized what was important to me when it came to running, and to be a little easier on myself, and just to, you know, give myself some grace when it came to that. So that was kind of a realization for me that I think was good, and it was a healthy way to kind of change my mindset, to have a little bit more balance and perspective of the running.
Something else I've noticed that running has helped me really deal with is that it really helps me mitigate that all or nothing mindset, which I know is so common among so many people. Like, if I can't do all of this perfectly, I'm going to do none of it. Like, if I can't get all of my run in exactly as it's supposed to do, I'm not going to do any running. Or if I can't do this one project exactly as it's supposed to be done, I'm not going to do it at all. And I mean, for running, it's like, you know, anything counts, you know? Okay, so you can't get 5 miles in today. Maybe that was on your schedule. Do you have time for two? Awesome. Go get two in. Like, it's not a failure. Like, you know, you got something. Something's always better than nothing. And it's really helped me, like I said, deal with that kind of living in that, you know what, I didn't do it perfectly. And that's okay, because life happens and something's better than nothing.
Yeah, I love that. Like you said, life happens. We all have lives outside of running too, you know, family, friends, other priorities, jobs, those sorts of things. So there's going to be things that get in the way of your training, of your runs, just because life happens. And like you said, being able to kind of just roll with the punches and not have every run go exactly as expected is a really healthy way to kind of manage when life throws you curveballs.
Something else I've noticed specifically with newer runners, and I feel like this is kind of common when any person starts a new thing, they dive all in, right? And so maybe it was CrossFit a couple years ago, maybe this time it's running and they want to do it every single day. And, you know, so they go from running 0 miles to running, I'm going to run a 5K every single morning. Let's talk a bit about, first of all, how that's too much too soon is a very short path to injury, but also how diving in like that is not necessarily the best way to approach what you're trying to do.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. I think that's a great question. I do see a lot of new runners that are so excited. They're so motivated. They want to jump in. And like you said, overtraining becomes a risk there due to the excitement. And I know I've been there too. certain times when I am just like ready to go and my mind is like, yeah, but you also have to think about, you know, what can you handle and that sort of thing. So especially for new runners, I always feel that it's important to start out slowly. It's important to build up slowly. And as a certified running coach, something that I always keep in mind is the 10% rule week to week. So you should never be increasing your mileage more than 10% week to week as a general rule of thumb, because when you start to do more than that, you really put yourself at risk of injury. So I really like to use that with my athletes to kind of see like what is their base right now when it comes to their mileage and how can we slowly ramp up in a way that's safe, in a way that doesn't lead to injury, in a way that's sustainable. So I think that is really important, making sure that even if you are really excited, that you kind of are able to brace yourself a little bit and go into it with the long-term goal in mind, knowing that if you take on too much too soon, you might be, you know, overdoing it or maybe overtraining, and you don't want to do that because you don't want to, you know, risk injury. So I totally think that's important.
And besides the physical overtraining, I mean, mental burnout is very real, right? And then you kind of get into a cycle where, okay, I'm going to commit to doing this 5 to 7 days a week, where last week I went from zero, you know, to every single day. And then you miss a day and then you feel bad. And then you kind of go into this shame spiral. And so, you know, it's important for running to fit into your life in an appropriate way. And sometimes it takes, you know, a couple months or a couple years to build up to running most days for some people. Like, it's totally normal if you are a person who only wants to or has time to run 3 to 4 days a week, that's fine. Like, you don't have to run 6 to 7 days a week. That's totally fine. It's what fits into your specific life. And you shouldn't compare your training to what somebody else does and feel like it's an inferior, because it's just different.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think it's so important, like you said, to run, you know, for your running, to do it how it fits into your life, the amount of days per week, also pacing. Like, for instance, I know it's really common in the running community to compare your paces and to say, oh, that person's faster than me, or that sort of thing. But I really try to let that go for myself, for my athletes, and not to be so hung up on, you know, who's faster than who or whatever. Because, you know, the most important thing is that you're doing what's appropriate for yourself. And I think at the end of the day, we're all just competing with ourselves and not with each other. So I think that's a really important thing that I always remind myself, my athletes, and I just think is a really important thing to keep in mind, because it's something that can be tough to deal with, like the comparison traps and stuff.
Yeah. And I get so many questions about that. Like, how do I stop comparing myself to other runners? And I don't know that you ever, and I did like a whole episode about this, basically, like how to stop, you know, dealing with kind of those more, you know, the shame or guilt or what happens if you miss a run, you know, how to stop comparing yourself to other runners. Because I don't know that you, it's not like you ever stop noticing what other people are running. Like, you always notice, like you see the number and you're like, oh, okay, like that's what they ran. But you eventually learn to stop ascribing emotion to it in a way that reflects on you. And like I can appreciate your PR without then turning it back on myself as like, well, I suck because she's fast, therefore I suck. Right.
Yeah.
So like, it's kind of like a way of learning to reframe your self-talk. Right?
Definitely.
So like how you talk to yourself, like I would never take my two friends and say, well, she's better than you because she's faster. Like, why would I say that to myself? You know, that's a terrible thing to say to anybody.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, it's really important. I think I've seen people asking like in running forums and stuff, like, is this a good pace? And I don't think there's such thing as a good pace. It's just whatever pace works for you, whichever one you're at your current fitness level. And there's no such thing as good and bad.
And that can be really hard too, because running is such a quantifiable sport. Like, there are numbers attached to this, right? There are distances and paces, and numbers have value as in numbers have value in that they're numbers. But it's so hard for running. I mean, if this were some sort of like, if it's yoga, right? Like, there are no numbers associated with yoga. But with runners, you can take two people, one of whom has been training for 10 years and one of whom rolled out of bed for the first time. And just because we're different people, we have different physiology, we have different genetic makeups and our bones and our muscles, like one person can run faster than the other on no training. And that's, it's almost like, well, it's not really fair, but that's just how life is. And like, that's okay. Just because somebody is faster than you does not mean that they're better or anything else. It just means that they're different.
Right. Exactly. Yep.
Speaking of kind of the, how running teaches you about yourself, do you have any moments or a moment that sticks out in your mind since you know, on your running journey, where you had like a breakthrough, like a realization, like something happened or you did something and you're like, oh my gosh, like that's what this has been all about. Or I didn't even know I could do that. Or any sort of like aha moments in your running.
I think the biggest thing for me would be like when I first started running, and I did the 5K, and then I did the half marathon, and then I did the marathon. When I first started running and I was just training for that 5K, I never imagined that I was capable of a marathon. I could barely run at the beginning, even for a mile. So I think the biggest breakthrough for me was just that if you put in the proper training, if you have the discipline, you can do really big things, and you can do things that you didn't know that you were capable of. So I think running taught me that, and then also helped me to apply that to other parts of my life. So whether it be, you know, just my personal life, work, in my relationships, friendships, it just really taught me that I'm capable of a lot more than I thought that I was. And it kind of, you know, blew the limits off of, you know, my expectations for myself. So it was really cool to just kind of have those opportunities open to say, you know what, I can do more than I thought. And I am capable of running a marathon. And that was just a really cool thing for me, like a really big eye opener.
Yeah, no, I had a similar, I completely agree. I mean, when I first started running, like I could barely run a mile. And like I didn't know what good paces or bad paces were. Like I was running with like, you know, my phone timer and like all that kind of stuff. And yeah, to progress from there, I very specifically remember a run where I had where, and I was still a very new runner. And when you're new, you have one speed and it's forward. And if you're not going forward, you're stopped. And everything feels hard. And I'd been running for a couple months and I can't remember if I'd done my, I must have, I can't remember if I'd done my first 5K or not. But I remember, I think I'd gotten a hold of a training book at that point, and I was, you know, they're like, oh, I should do some formal training. And something about the run was like, and then you speed up. So it goes from like moderate to hard. And the very first run that I ever had where I realized I had more than one gear and that I wasn't gonna die, even though it was hard, was the first run where I was like, wow, not only am I capable of more than I thought that I was, I can still do this even though it's hard. It might feel like I'm going to die, but I'm not going to die. I can hold this for whatever the pace was, like a quarter mile or half mile. And that was really eye-opening for me as like a, like you said, it was like, oh my gosh, like it just there are no limits. Like I didn't even know I was capable of this. What else could I be capable of if I put the training in? Like, what else is out there for me in this world? Not even just in running, but in life. So, what do you think that running can teach us about learning to sit with uncomfortable emotions? Because a lot of people really don't like to feel uncomfortable emotions and they do everything they can to kind of distract themselves from sitting with discomfort. And I get it, discomfort sucks, but in running, sometimes you're gonna be uncomfortable, and it's just something you have to learn to deal with. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely feel like running is kind of like a, it can be used as a example of, I forget what the word is, like a, it can represent, you know, life when it comes to those sorts of things. So, when you're on a run, you're going to find times where you feel really uncomfortable. Like an example I can give is when you're doing a marathon, there's always a time where I just hit the wall and I just feel like I can't keep going. But that's where you have to really dig deep and find that inner motivation, that inner why of why you're doing this, and then you push through. So I feel like that's a representation that I've learned from running that I can take into other pieces of my life too, that things are going to get really hard and you're going to feel like you want to give up and you're going to really struggle, but you're going to keep going and you're going to make it and you're going to finish the race and you can. I think that like especially marathons, you know, when you're in like the 20s of the mileage, that's when things get really tough. And that's when it becomes really important to be able to dig really deep and find your inner motivation and your inner strength. And push through. And like I said, I think that that can really be taken to a lot of different aspects of life too. When you go through struggles and you're going through something really hard and you think, I can't do this, I can't keep going. But the running really does teach you that you can push through that, you can push through the tough times and you can make it out on the other side, which I think is just so cool.
Definitely. And I think my personal flaws, I tend to be a bit more of like a, oh, everything's gonna eventually turn out fine kind of person. And I really like talking about they're kind of quaintly called rough patches in races. And they tend to happen on longer races, but like, you know, if you're in a longer race and you have what's called a rough patch, or you have a period where it's like, wow, okay, this got really hard. I don't know if I can do this. The doubt creeps in, your legs are feeling really heavy. And the crazy thing about rough patches is that sometimes they just pass and you come out the other side of the rough patch and then it feels easier. So whether or not, whatever the situation is, whether it's on a run or in a race or kind of like in whatever I'm going through in my daily life, like I just kind of be like, you know what, this is going to pass. Whatever it is, it's going to pass eventually. Like I might be in a rough patch now. It might suck right now, but if I just keep going, it will resolve itself one way or another. Like whether, you know, in the race, either it's you're going to feel better because the rough patch will literally pass, or you'll get to the finish line. Like, cool, resolution in both ways. In life, you know, that patience, just kind of like, you know what, it's going to pass, something will change in, to make the situation something that is more manageable or whatever it is. And sometimes rough patches just happen, and it's just about learning to stick it out until the end, until the rough patch passes.
Definitely. Yeah. Yep. I totally agree. This too shall pass, and nothing lasts forever.
Exactly. So something I've gotten a lot of questions about, I feel like I routinely say, like, you know, people are very anxious about taking rest days, taking recovery periods, taking down weeks, taking time off after a race or after a cross-country season or whatever it is, because they're so afraid of losing fitness. And I don't know if you want to explain kind of the physiological principles about how much, you know, sedentariness it takes to actually lose fitness. But I think it's really important to also address the fear and anxiety that is underlying what those people are communicating. Because these, you know, some people are very, very anxious about taking a rest day or a down week or taking a week off, or what if I can't run on vacation? They're so, so concerned about losing that fitness. What would you say to if an athlete came to you and expressed those feelings?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's really common, especially when people have goals that they're trying to achieve and they're working really hard. You know, they don't want to lose all that work that they've put in. And that's something I can totally relate to. And I've seen my athletes go through similar things too. So I think what I would say to them is, you know, rest really is important. And when you put in the appropriate rest, it will actually help you to perform better in the long run. You know, if you're not resting when you need to, that's when you could be, you know, overdoing it. You could be putting yourself at risk for injury. And I definitely just think it's really important to make sure that you're putting in that rest time, even when you feel like you should be running, you know, if that's what your training plan prescribes, if that's what your running coach is telling you that you should rest, then you should definitely, you know, take the time you need and make sure you're getting the appropriate rest. And it really does take quite a bit of time for you to actually lose the fitness levels. I forget off the top of my head exactly how many weeks, but just taking a rest day or two, you know, during the week isn't going to, you know, significantly reduce your fitness in any way. And we can even see that by, you know, the amount of time that we taper before a race. You know, sometimes you're tapering for 2 or 3 weeks, depending on the length of your race, if it's a marathon. And the reason you're tapering is because your body needs to kind of take a little rest, basically, to prepare it for this big race that's coming up and for you to have a peak performance. So, you know, when you're preparing for a peak performance, it doesn't always mean like, keep going, like go faster, go harder. You sometimes you really need to just take a step back and let yourself rest and let your muscles recover. And that will really lead to the best outcome.
Yeah. And for people, I mean, in general, the longer you've been at a certain level of fitness, the harder it is to lose, especially for structural changes. You know, it's your aerobic system develops first, and then your bones, ligaments, and tendons are kind of the last to get stronger. But once they're stronger, like they're stronger for much longer. So yeah, it is absolutely taking a normal rest day or days in your week. That's should be part of most training plans. And then, you know, having those prescribed periods of recovery, like it's all part of the big picture about how you become stronger. And I think, you know, understanding that, especially in our culture, we say like, well, more is better and harder is better. Like if you're not doing it every day, your commitment isn't, you know, whatever the crap is that we say, if you're not yep. like bleeding out of your eyeballs 7 days a week, you're not gaining fitness. It's like, actually, no, like there is a lot to be said for taking that period of rest and recovery, both mentally yep. and physically. Like training for in races is very mentally intense. Yeah. And you're going to need a mental break afterwards. You just can't focus on something like that constantly. You need to give yourself a break.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree.
Did you find, so you did a whole bunch in 2 years.
Yeah.
Did you, so are these lessons that are like personally learned? Did you feel like if you had to go back and do it all over again, obviously you learned a lot, but would you have done anything differently with the benefit of hindsight?
I think looking back, I probably would have hired a coach. At the time, I didn't work with a coach and I made a lot of mistakes because I was such a new runner. I was a beginner. And I made the mistakes because I just didn't know and I was kind of just jumping into it head first. So I made all those mistakes and I really wish that I would have worked with a coach to start. And that's why now I think it's so important for new runners to work with a coach because there are so many things that you kind of have to watch out for to avoid injury and to do it in a safe way. So if I could go back and do it again, I would have hired a coach to help me through that so that I could have avoided some of the mistakes that I made.
I love that. No, I agree. I do the same thing where I look back, wow, like I just kind of got lucky there. I'm really lucky I didn't cause serious injury. Like, woo, okay. And it can be tough when you're new because you don't know what you don't know. And even though running is on its surface such a simple sport, like just put on your shoes and go for a run. There is a lot more to it. It is a deceptively complex sport. Especially when you're running for more than just general fitness, right? Like I think there's, if you run, you are a runner, absolutely. But the training definitely changes for somebody who's just, I just do a running class 3 days a week. Like maybe I do Orange Theory Fitness. Like that's my exercise. Cool, that's great. Versus somebody who says, no, I am training for a specific road race or trail race, whatever my distance is. I have these specific goals. Those people both run, but they should have a very different approach to training. And once you start training for performance versus fitness, your needs change.
I totally agree.
Working with the runners that you do, I mean, are there some more mental health aspects that you see crop up in your more experienced runners versus new runners? Or is it kind of like we're all people, we all experience the same things?
Like I've seen a little bit of people who struggle with motivation. I've seen some things about people who just struggle with the mind game while they're on the runs, like confidence when they're running and like, oh, can I really do this and things like that. So I've seen a little bit of that. As a coach, I really like to make sure that I am doing what I can to help them overcome those struggles and those burdens and those sorts of things, just to make sure that that they're able to perform at their best and they're able to really benefit from the running and that it is a positive thing in their lives. So that's something that I really try to do as a coach. And I also really like to focus on like positive reinforcement when it comes to running. Like I never want to be the type of coach that is like hard on someone or makes them feel bad or anything like that. That's just not my style. So it's always about, positive reinforcement and helping them to fit the running into their lives, their kids, their families, their jobs, and helping them to overcome whatever struggle that they have, whether it be mental or physical or anything like that when it comes to their running goals.
One of the most amazing things about running is that for me, and something that I've found is that if you have a block when it comes to running, like a mental block when it comes to running, either you don't want to do something or you're doing something and you want to stop doing it or whatever it is, it always is fascinating me to find out what the root cause is. Like, where is this emotion really coming from? What is this really about, right? Because like we said, like running can teach you so much about life. If I'm, for me personally, I get really kind of worked up before certain kinds of workouts. I get really anxious, even workouts that like I've done before, And so realizing, well, what is the root cause of this? Am I afraid of the discomfort? Am I afraid of failure? Like, am I afraid that I'm not going to be able to hit the paces? Is it a combination? Is it something else? Like, so if you feel, or whatever the mental block is, the resistance to doing something, exploring the why is really, really beneficial exercise.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think digging deeper and exploring the why can really uncover a lot of things. And it can also uncover some things that are like pretty uncomfortable. Like, for instance, if you're having doubts about certain things, it could really kind of release some of your inner feelings that you have about yourself and things like that. So it's not always going to be easy. But when you do uncover those things, I think it's really helpful because then once you know what those insecurities and those, inner thoughts and feelings are, you're aware of it, and that's when you can fix it and you can bring it to light and you can say, wait a minute, that's not true. And that's when you really have the opportunity to plant some new, inner beliefs and those sorts of things to replace some of those, those inner thoughts. So I think it's really important to, like you said, dig deep and understand your why behind it.
And again, with the way that we've trained, physically trained, we go for a run. It's not any one run or workout that, creates the breakthrough. It's the pattern and the practice. And the same thing with mental, the thoughts, kind of the mental patterns that we make as well. So let's say you have a specific hang up or a certain anxiety about going on long runs. Being aware of the root cause is not going to fix it. Like, you still have to work on overcoming it. But with time, it will get easier. There can be a lot of mental training that happens alongside of your physical training.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. Yep.
So something that you touched on earlier and I mentioned as well is running for weight loss. And neither of us are registered dietitians. We are not nutrition professionals, but I feel like it's really important to kind of touch on this topic because so many runners who find running a little bit later in life do so because they want to lose weight. And depending on, your specific background, weight loss and running may or may not be appropriate to coincide. But I feel like this is a good opening of the door into when habits become maladaptive. And I feel like calorie counting and the kind of obsessive behaviors that people can exhibit around food and exercise is kind of a good gateway into discussing what's normal behavior, what normal emotions are versus when it's time to maybe see some professional help when things are not working for you.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. And I totally agree about, like you were mentioning, the running for dieting or running to lose weight, dieting, those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. Something that I think is really important is making sure that you're fueling yourself appropriately for your runs and not cutting back too much, because especially when it comes to long runs, you really need to make sure that you have the fuel that you need in order to stay energized on those runs. So I totally agree with that. And I think it's really important. And then you mentioned about, at what point should people seek professional help when it comes to mental health and everything? Because we know that running is good for mental health. We know that it improves it, but it's definitely not always the solution. There are definitely times when it's important to seek, more support, get professional help, when there are other resources that need to step in to provide more help and support. And I think that's really, really important. It's not a replacement for therapy. It's not a replacement for medication. And it's not a replacement for professional help. Something else I want to mention is that seeking professional help, therapy, medication, et cetera, isn't a sign of weakness. It's actually a significant step towards better self-care, taking care of yourself. I think it's a brave step. I think it's a sign of strength. And it basically means that you decide, I'm worth it, that I'm going to take these extra steps to make sure that I feel better and to make sure that I'm my best self. So I definitely think that, it's not a sign of weakness to reach out for help. It's a sign of strength. And my thoughts about when it's appropriate to reach out for extra support would be if your mental health starts to impede on your day-to-day life. So if it starts to affect your sleep, your appetite, your work, your relationships, when you're starting to see, issues come in each of those places, you're no longer enjoying activities that you used to enjoy. It could be that you've experienced trauma and you're having a hard time processing it on your own. Addictions, all of those things could be signs that it would be a good, important step to reach out for some professional help and get some professional advice. I also think that therapy can be really helpful, even if you don't have a mental health condition or a diagnosis. I think that you can learn good coping skills. I think everyone goes through ups and downs in their lives. So if you're going through a rough time, it can be really good to get some perspective from a professional who can help you to look at things and manage things in a healthy way. I know I personally go to therapy and have gone to therapy for years now, and it has helped me in so many ways. It's helped me to develop healthy coping skills. It's helped me to improve my marriage, my friendships, to look at life in a healthier way. It's also helped me to set boundaries. It's helped me to improve my family relationships. So it's helped me in so many ways. And I think it can be a really helpful resource for people who are interested and who are seeking that extra level of support. And something else I want to add here too is that when it comes to finding a therapist, I always kind of think of it as dating. So to find the right therapist, you really have to find a good match when it comes to someone who works well with you and who, you know, you have good chemistry with. And if for some reason you meet with a therapist and it just isn't working out, you don't feel like it's really helping, there's no shame, there's no harm in trying out a different therapist instead and just, you know, moving on to try someone new. I know I've done that countless times. So I would say if you do decide to pursue therapy and you see someone at first and you just don't feel like you're hitting it off and they're not really giving you the help that you need, don't be afraid to try someone else. Because just like in relationships, you know, we all have people who we kind of click with and who we jive with. And then there are some people that we just don't, and that's okay. So I would say, you know, if that's something that you're looking into and that you're interested in, just to keep that in mind, that if for some reason the first one doesn't work out, that, you know, don't be afraid to try someone else, and eventually you'll find someone that really is a good match and that can help you.
Absolutely. I will definitely echo that, because the relationship you have with your therapist is a relationship, and we all have different types of relationships with different people. And so, you know, if you kind of know what you're looking for, like if you know that you respond to a style that is more, you know, like warm and empathetic versus somebody who might be more, you know, like it just depends. Like, who do I respond most? If you think back about mentors or teachers or people in your life who you've been close to in that kind of like professional yet still a good relationship pattern, like what did those people have in common? And looking for that in the therapist that you're looking for. And yeah, I mean, they'll know, like your therapist isn't, you know, if it's not working out, like they will want you to acknowledge that as well. They're not going to look at you and say, this isn't working. They're trying to help, you know? So it is a kind of incumbent upon you to say, look, you know what? I like you. Maybe you don't, but you know, I like you. I just don't think this is a really good fit. And maybe to see if they have any recommendations for colleagues or somebody else in their practice or somebody who they think might be a better fit for you. Yep. And it's also important to note, there's a bunch of different kinds of therapy that it's available now. I mean, especially after COVID, like telehealth, seeing a therapist remotely is really, really common now. It's very, you know, becoming a lot more accessible. And then, you know, different kinds of like, are you looking for somebody just to talk to? Are you looking for, you know, if you go see a psychiatrist, that would probably be somebody who's more going to be less about talk therapy and more about medication, that sort of thing. So kind of understanding, like if you just want somebody to talk to, like, yeah, there's a bunch of therapists out there who could fill, you know, that role and be that person for you in professional capacity, just kind of, you know, help you talk through whatever is on your mind.
Right. Definitely. Yep. I agree.
I will just, you watch out, because your therapist might get sick of you saying, so I was on a run the other day and I realized that.
Yep.
that's how most of my stories in therapy would start.
Yep.
So the last one, as we go into this, now that races are back, a lot of people are kind of anxious about it, right? Whether they're new to running, you know, they are through COVID, maybe they've never raced before, maybe they used to race a whole bunch and they haven't raced in over a year, that sort of thing. I feel like there is a lot of hope, but a lot of extra kind of self-doubt in the air right now about, can I do the things that I want to be doing in these races? Do you have any like general self-care tips for somebody who's experiencing that kind of self-doubt?
Yeah. Great question. I think that's definitely really common right now, especially because, you know, for the last year, we haven't really had any in-person races. So that's been a long break for everyone. And to come back to it now and dive in, regardless of what you've been doing training wise for the last year, it's tough and it's different and it's, you know, definitely anxiety provoking. So I totally agree. It's a big challenge. It's something that creates a lot of anxiety and worry for runners. My advice for self-care, of taking care of those sorts of thoughts and those sorts of worries, would just be to, really, you know, be easy on yourself when it comes to your expectations there. Like, I would say don't come into this year and be like, this is going to be like the best year ever, because we just went through a global pandemic and, you know, we all went through a lot over the last year in different ways. And I think it's really important to just let yourself ease back into it, and don't, you know, put a lot of negative pressure on yourself to perform. Maybe even, you know, when you sign up for a race, maybe try signing up for some smaller races first, just to kind of get your feet wet again, like maybe some 5Ks, just to get used to it again of what racing really feels like before you ramp up and do a longer race, like a half marathon or a marathon. So I would say just really let yourself take your time, be easy on yourself, do what you need to do to take care of yourself, whether that be, you know, ease into it with some smaller races, or just maybe do a race with less pressure on yourself when it comes to a time goal first, before you start diving into some bigger goals, and really just to, you know, take it a day at a time. I mean, we're out of the pandemic now, I guess, technically, but we still just went through, you know, a year of, you know, really hard times and traumatic times with the pandemic and everything. So just be easy on yourself and remember why you started running to begin with, and just kind of always keep that in the back of your mind.
And I'd also like to say, you know, talking about the comparison game, is that the emotions that you feel are valid. And if you feel like you're going through a lot of stress, if you feel like you're feeling very anxious, or if you have symptoms of depression, or, you know, even if you were to say, well, gosh, but my life isn't nearly as bad as so-and-so's, like, that doesn't matter. There's no comparison game. Just because, you know, this person is going through a different situation doesn't invalidate what you're also going through, you know? And for some people, for many of us, this past year plus has been varying degrees of hard. Emotionally, mentally hard. Mm-hmm. And if this past year you didn't have the bandwidth to train the way you wanted to, if you were struggling with your mental health, like, that is normal. There is nothing to discount. Like, just even if you came out of this, you know, relatively unscathed, it's still important to acknowledge what we've all been through. And of course, many of us have lost people or gone through serious trauma because of COVID. So, you know, all this to say that your emotions are real. If you feel the way you feel, that is real, and that impacts you. And it's okay to feel the way that you feel. You don't have to, you know, look at anybody else's experience to validate your own. Your own experience is enough.
Yep, I totally agree. I think that's absolutely true. I think we all process things differently. And just because someone went through a different experience that on the outside looks, you know, tougher or whatever, it does not mean that it invalidates how you feel about your situation at all. We all have our own thoughts and emotions. It's okay if you don't feel okay. It's okay to not be okay. And I think that is completely okay.
I agree. Lauren, this has been wonderful. I know you're a coach and a mental health advocate, but are you taking coaching clients right now? What's your situation?
Yeah. Yep. So I am currently taking clients. I have some openings. So if anyone's interested in coaching, I would love to connect with you, and I would love to help you on your journey. So I am open to one-on-one coaching clients. I also do group coaching. And then I also blog. I have a blog about running and mental health, where I write about my experiences when it comes to mental health and wellness, as well as running, and a lot of running tips as well. So that's something that I'm really excited about.
Yes. And you're on Instagram, and your website is?
Yep. My website is runningforwellness.com. My Instagram is running.for.wellness.
And this will all be linked in the show notes, so you can go find Lauren, check out her blog, follow her on Instagram, and see if she might be a good coaching fit. Because just like finding a therapist, finding a good coach is also a little bit about, you know, the interview process. I mean, it's probably, you know, it's kind of hard to jump through, you know, from coach to coach. But when finding a good coach, it should be a good interview process. Not only should you, you know, they feel like they're a good fit for you, but you should feel like you're a good fit for them. So kind of some wisdom that works in a couple different situations there.
Definitely. Yeah, I completely agree.
Well, Lauren, thank you so much. This was a really great conversation. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks, Elizabeth. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
I hope you've enjoyed this episode. Don't forget, you can always find me on Instagram at runningexplained or at my website, runningexplained.co. If you have a question you'd like to have answered, you can submit it in my stories every Monday or email me at elizabeth@runningexplained.co. That's ELISABETH at runningexplained.co. This content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you have regarding a medical condition.